Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and listen live 24/7 at linewsradio.com.
Well, Steve, leave you always a lot to say. Common Sense Strategies, the firm, former county executive, former assemblyman as well, right here in Suffolk County, as we get ready for another Spotlight segment on Long Island. President making his visit on Friday into Suffolk County, of course, made topic of conversation, the gang violence. Steve Levy, as mentioned, a former county executive, Common Sense Strategies. Good morning, sir. Steve, there you go.
Be back with you, Jay.
Good to have you here.
Thank you, buddy.
So, in essence, a lot made, you know, the president's visit, but, you know, you can go back a couple of months, the attorney general. In Jeff Sessions, Peter King with a panel, the congressman setting up a panel in Central Islip back in late June, and then really culminated with the president's visit, Steve. But really, you know, the problem to me, listen, I like the dog and pony shows we've seen, but until we get some very strong legislation in place and really enacting some tough laws, this problem will not go away, it will worsen. And we got to find ways to get it done.
Well, I'm going to disagree rather strongly with something you said there, Jay.
Go ahead.
That is, until we get legislation in place, it's there. It has been there for decades. The problem we have is that we have a politically correct class that refuses to enforce those laws. President came in, Attorney General Session came in, they enforced the law, and they're ridding the streets of these despicable individuals who are slaughtering our children. But those laws have been there. And when you have county administrations that say, we don't want to work with the federal government, this problem is going to mushroom. When you have the former federal administration saying, we're going to allow people to flood over our southern border and relocate 8,000 unaccompanied minors into Long Island and not expect there to be chaos, you're going to have a problem. So, Jay, we've got the laws, but you got these sanctuary cities that are ignoring the laws, and that is the problem.
Well, also, I think, you know, one has to step up to the plate here and declare the fact that, A, we are not a sanctuary town, or we are. You know, that certainly is up in the air as far as many hamlets out there.
Well, you know, you got guys like Vinny DeMarco, the sheriff, who's been very strong on this, saying, look, we want to work with ICE. We'll put ICE guys at the jail. But then you had the county executive, you know, back in before the 2015 election, going before a number of Hispanic groups and touting that the county was going to stop working as aggressively with the federal government as though that was some kind of a good thing, a terrible thing. So I think they learned their lesson from that mistake and they're starting to understand that it is important to work with the feds. And the roundup that has occurred since Attorney General Sessions was here shows that it is effective. If you just want to enforce the laws that are already on the books, you can make your streets safe. It's the political correctness and the identity politics, Jay, that are putting our children at jeopardy. You just look at these crazy, the assemblymen from the area, or these crazy groups like Make the Way New York. They're criticizing the aggressive actions against MS-13, and their answer is, oh, well, we need more education, we need more money for support programs. And Sessions is saying, yeah, that's fine, but you don't need that. What you need is just to enforce the law, and if these guys are here illegally and they're committing crimes, get them the hell out of here. That's what you need.
No, no question about it, but let's face it, Steve, you know, there's a lot of these violent illegal aliens who re-enter this country. And re-enter illegally, by the way, and that's why, you know, you need some enforcement. The Cates Law pretty much really defines this, and this is the piece of legislation that you have to cement in stone. You cannot allow these individuals back in if they've committed these heinous crimes.
You're absolutely right. Look at this situation in Oregon, Jay. You probably, you know, most of your listeners probably heard about this. 20 times this guy was deported. and came back and then just sexually assaulted a woman. And to hear the tortured rationale by the leftists who say that they're going to continue to support sanctuary cities while these people are preying on our residents is absolutely mind-boggling. But that's why you need a case law, so that once a person who's committed a crime has been deported, if they step a toe over the border again, they're getting a mandatory 5 or 10 years. And I'm glad to see that the new federal administration is strongly supporting that. We'll see if it makes a difference. I think it will. Just as their sharper rhetoric and enforcement has led to a 78% reduction in the number of illegal crossings along the southern border.
You know, in the category of drugs, there are registries out there as far as names that can be shared with law enforcement. Do we have anything of that nature regarding gangs, Steve Levy, MS-13 in particular, about sharing those members with the federal law enforcement agencies, and all with the intent of getting them out of here if they are here illegally, if they have committed some heinous acts?
Well, Sheriff DeMarco has been pretty strong on that. And because the county is now sharing those names with the feds are getting them out of here and they're arresting them. That's what had to be done. But there was this incredible silence and reluctance among many of our county officials over the last 5 years that they didn't want to work with the feds. And that has led to the burgeoning of MS-13 in our area. And I think at least indirectly, you could say it was one of the reasons that these guys were on the streets and were able to kill these 15 to 20 young people within our communities. Now look to Nassau. I mean, they've got some MS-13 as well, but not nearly as much as Suffolk. And I would submit to you, it's because Suffolk has taken such a hostile attitude in working with the feds. We're starting to see that reversed, and it's a good thing, but a lot of damage has been done.
No question about it. We're talking with Steve Levy, Common Sense Strategies, former assembly, former county executive right here in Suffolk County. Also, what about those who associate, Steve, with other gang members? I mean, shouldn't there be something in place if there isn't something already about that being a real situation to have one on the deportation list? What about those people who associate with those who are in gangs already?
Well, you know, there is such a thing that's been tried in other areas called the gang registry, and I think that makes sense to have. It really treats gangs as the organized crime entities that they are. Look, when we deal with the mafia, for instance, they've long had some very strong federal laws on the books, the RICO statute, and also laws that say if you're a convicted felon, you know, in the mafia or other organized crime, you're prohibited from assembling and hanging out with other known felons of that ilk. Why don't we do the same for these gangs, which are, in essence, the same type of organized crime that the mafia was, in many ways, even worse and more violent. So not to compare the two, but they're both awful. But if you can treat the mafia that way, you should be treating the street gangs the same way. If you know this person is part of that gang, they're here illegally, get them out of this country.
And, you know, I always remember what Curtis Lewa said of the Guardian Angels. You know, you may bring up the crime families and everything else. You know, maybe we should enact similar situations, you know, regarding informants and witness protection programs and green cards, in essence, for those who who hand off some pretty vital information regarding gangs. You know, maybe that type of situation should be put in place in this category as well.
Yeah, I mean, those protections are available, but again, it's mostly coming from the feds, and you first have to understand that you need the feds involved, and that wasn't happening here in the county, but it is starting to happen again. So I think that makes a lot of sense. I think it's also important, though, and this is where I think some critics are very accurate, or at least justified, that, you know, when they say you have to make sure that witnesses and victims clearly understand that they will not be asked their documented status if they want to come forward and cooperate with the police. And I think that's the policy in Suffolk County, as it always has been, but it has to get known. And it's important that the feds make a definitive statement in that regard. I think that's what they're practicing, but they should say it outright. You're a victim. You're a witness. We want you to come forward. We work with you. And, you know, you don't have any fear of us talking to you about your documented status. It's got to be one big family that way.
Talking with Steve Levy, Common Sense Strategies. Let's move on to another area. You wrote a pretty good piece, I read, Steve, regarding the administration's request for voter information. You know, you talk about an assault, as you put it, on the Constitution and some privacy laws. But, you know, you're looking to maybe not have as much voter participation, which we can't afford. You know, we talk a lot about apathy and everything else around here regarding getting to the polls, but an interesting little piece you wrote regarding an invasion of that privacy, huh?
Well, just to be clear for the listeners, I wasn't saying it's an invasion of privacy. I was criticizing the others who were against this panel that was simply trying to get public information to prevent voter fraud. It is not an invasion of policy. That was a talking point that many of these people were bringing up. And but listen, any candidate or any political operative, the first thing they do when they're running is they seek the information of who votes regularly. That's called prime voters. This is already public information. And for some of these critics to say, we don't want to cooperate with the federal government to work with them in combating voter fraud is absolutely crazy. And some people will say, oh, you know, it's not a problem. Listen, the president greatly exaggerated the number of people who are voting illegally. And that's unfortunate because it distorts the issue. But on the other end of the spectrum today, we have people saying it's not a problem at all. It is a problem. It's not a lot of illegal votes, but if you're a guy or a gal who just lost by 10 votes in an election and there were 100 contested votes, it matters to you.
Yeah, no question about it. And let's face it, when we go in for the local elections, you know, we go into the polling place, Steve, and they open the book and they find your name. But, you know, who knows? Who knows what kind of situation might be involved there. We don't know if everything is on the level here as far as getting it done the right way. There could be a lot of misnomers all considered about the electoral process itself.
Oh, sure. Look, we know there are dead people on the rolls.
Yeah.
And it's been shown that there have been votes cast in their name. We know there are people here illegally. Or here who are just resident aliens here illegally but aren't or don't have the ability to vote, who have voted. By the way, sometimes that's malicious. Sometimes it's purely by mistake. They think they can vote and they're not allowed. But the problem is there's no one checking to see if they have residency, if they have citizenship, that they can vote. You know, you have people who vote multiple times in different states or in the same state more than once. You have problems with some absentee ballots. So it's not that this is widespread, Jay. It's just that you have to understand that Al Franken won his race, I think it was in 2010, by about 312 votes. There were way more than that number of votes that were contested. President Bush in 2000 won by really 500 votes down in Florida. And you know there were more contested votes than that. On the local level, Connie Tepet, a councilwoman in Brookhaven, had a race decided by 4 votes. Lee Zeldin was in a couple of squeakers. It's not that it's widespread, but when there is fraud like this, it can be the determining factor. It's significant. So why would anyone say we don't want voter ID? We don't want to protect the system. We don't want to work with the federal government and making sure that any type of fraud is eliminated from the system.
All right, before we let you go, let's just move to what I think is a couple of contentious races coming right here in Suffolk County. You have a very hot position as far as district attorney with Tom Spoda, calling it after 16 years. You know, you got a sheriff's race with Phil Boyle moving over. You have legislators changing hands here. You got a couple of supervisor posts here. You know, I understand no federal election this year from a local level, but in essence, a very, very important time right here for Long Island.
Yeah, and, you know, this is one of those low turnout years. You know, when you talk about your prime voters, these are the prime voters this year, Jay, the people who vote almost every year. This is like the off-year election. An off-year election is when the county executive's at the top of the ticket. An off-year election is when you don't have the county exec. I mean, I think the DA is the highest, is the number one race there, and you got the sheriff. So you're going to have maybe 25% turnout in this particular election.
Which is really troubling when you think about it, because I understand you don't have the all-stars at the top here, but still, people really have to do their due diligence. And if they want to make some change, they better start researching now.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people get all revved up about the big federal elections or the government elections, but sometimes it's the local elections that have the biggest impact. You know, your school board election, for instance, could have more of an impact on your life than some of those others, because they're going to, deal with the lion's share of your property taxes and the education for your children. So there's a tendency for people to slack off when it comes to these local races. But as you noted, Jay, they're very, very important, and people should stay tuned and really be focused on that.
And no question, you mentioned, listen, it's all about getting to the polls. We know the apathy, and we know when, you know, you don't have a congressional race, the turnout and everything else. But, boy, I tell you, you hope it changes. You hope people really see the light. Steve Levy, always a pleasure.